707 FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for starting your Thursday and so many other mornings with us here on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, and sticking with us through the rest of the day and all of our live local programming. And big weeks like this one with the election on Tuesday, that's what we're here for and beyond, and we really appreciate it. Joining us now is Senator Tommy Tuberville, fresh off of his big primary win on Tuesday night in the gubernatorial GOP primary. Coach, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be here. I'm up in back up in D.C. and trying to get something done. I think we have a reconciliation bill. We'll vote about 14, 16 hours straight starting about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And the main reason is the Democrats won't fund the Department of Homeland Security. So we got a 51 vote to get that done. And so we'll do that all night tonight. And hopefully this time tomorrow we will have funded Department of Homeland Security, which has been defunded for around 100 days.
Coach, just in regular people speak, not Washington speak, how y'all going to do that? How are you going to get this in this voter? How do you make this happen?
Yeah, well, what happens up here, if you have the House and the Senate and the White House, you can bypass all Senate rules and say, listen, instead of getting 60 votes, you only have to have 51, but it has to pass the House. And then it comes to the Senate. You have to give all the Democrats all the amendments that they want. In other words, they try to attach it to this bill. Now, normally we vote them all down, which we will hopefully today. And at the end of the voting of all their amendments, we get only have to have 51 votes instead of 60 to pass the bill. Now, the bill is funding, you know, our law enforcement, our Department of Homeland Security, TSA, Coast Guard. Again, has not been funded for 100 days, which is absolutely ridiculous. The Democrats are just, they want to make everybody mad and think it's Donald Trump's or Republicans' fault. It's all their fault. So hopefully this time tomorrow, we'll go through those amendments. And then the final vote will be, okay, we're voting on this bill. Mm-hmm. Let's vote. If we get 51 votes, Department of Homeland Security will be funded, and we'll go on with it. Now, there is some money in this bill, not just the Department of Homeland Security. It's also some money in there for the war in Iran, which we spent $4 or $5 billion. And then there's some money in there that puts security into the White House, along with the new banquet hall that President Trump is doing this bill, basically by all private money.
Now, and are they going to take that out? I know there's been a lot of discussion about that, and John Thune with the ballroom money in that. Is that going to have to come out in order for this to get across for the Republicans?
Well, you got, now that Cassidy lost down in Louisiana, Rhino, we have 5 or 6 other rhinos. They're all kind of ganging together against American people and Republicans and saying, if you don't take this out, you know, we don't like Trump because what he did to Cassidy and what he's doing to Cornyn and not endorsing him. If you don't do this, we as rhinos will vote against this bill. I mean, so we're in a rock and hard place. We got people that supposedly got voted in as Republicans, but they actually got voted in to represent, I guess, themselves, because they're not representing their states, because all these states that they represent are MAGA and they're President Trump fans. But I tell you, everything gets so personal up here. They can't. They need to be a football coach for a while and just get ripped from top to bottom about, you know, things that you do. Most of these people never had a job, and they've never had to be control of anything, and they never take criticism. And my gosh, they cannot take it. It's like a bunch of crybabies up here.
I want to use that segue you just handed off to us, too. And I want to talk about your gubernatorial campaign. But first, as you're still working as a senator, what's the latest on college athletics? I know you've been so outspoken about NIL and the transfer portal. I mean, it seems like free agency at this point. Trump has signed an executive order. Where do we stand on all of that?
Well, it's a disaster. I've tried ever since I've been up here. I've talked to coaches, ADs, presidents, players, families. We got to get something done. College sports is not professional sports. It should be about education, number one, and then giving kids opportunities to show their worth and possibly move on and make money. Now, you got women's athletics and you have Olympic sports that are all mixed in there. They all have to be funded by the same thing. Well, we're losing that. We're losing funding because all the money's going, as we all know, to what we call the NIL. Now, I had an NIL bill covered everything. Great bill. Chuck Schumer wouldn't put it on the floor because he wanted to put unionization in there. I wasn't going to do that. Now they have the SCORE Act. Ted Cruz still got all the money and all that nonsense in there about antitrust. It's not ever going to pass. I mean, we're trying to climb a tree that doesn't have any bark or limbs on it. We can't do it. And so I keep telling them, we got to solve this, but you're not going to solve it as an NIO bill. So I got a bill now. I've sold it to President Trump many, many times. Finally, he executive ordered my bill a few weeks ago. And it's really not an NIO bill. It's what you call an eligibility bill. I don't want to deal with money. Let the schools and the conferences and the NCAA deal it. The judge said they can make money. I'm good with that. I don't care if they make $100 million a year. I'm good with that. We got to stop the transferring every year. So my bill basically says when your clock starts as a full-time student, you got 5 years to play. No red shirts. You start, you got 5 years. No more 30-year-olds playing college sports. And the other one is you get one free transfer. That's it. Now, if you want to transfer after that one time, if you transferred, you got to sit out a year like the old rule. Mm-hmm. If at the end of 3 years you graduated, you've earned a bonus. You can go anywhere you want.
Gotcha.
That's the way the old rule said. We got to make sure kids are getting education. Nobody's getting a degree. Nobody's going to class. It is a complete joke to our educational system.
I like that too. The old rule. There's a benefit to getting your academics done. I mean, there's an incentive in there.
Exactly. But, and I don't, again, this is not, it doesn't have anything to do with one dime. My God, let them have the money. That's where we're at. The judge said they can have money. Let's do it. Make all the money you want, but you're not going to make it by transferring. Mm-hmm. You'll get one transfer. After that, you're on your own. People are not going to pay you to transfer and pay you a year to sit on the bench and then play the next year. They're not going to do that. We have to get kids back involved in education. Again, make the money, but also have some kind of responsibility to the school that you're at. You get one transfer.
All right, Coach, let's talk about our state, and congratulations on the primary win Tuesday night. It was expected, and your opponent coming out of the Democratic primary, that was also expected, and you've ran against him before, Doug Jones, back in that Senate race that you won. Do you expect, I mean, down here we've seen so many local races that have gotten very heated, a lot of mudslinging, and Doug Jones, the obvious underdog coming into this, you expecting this to become a dirty race until November?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll come after us. I don't live in Alabama. You know, first of all, I tell all the media up here, Coach, they're questioning your residency. I said, let me ask you something. Do I look stupid? Do I look stupid where I would give up a United States Senator seat if I didn't have qualifications to run for governor? I'm a football coach, and I understand everything. You've got to do it right, and that's what I've done. So the biggest thing in this race is not me versus Doug Jones. It's about a capitalism, loves America, wants to give our kids and grandkids another 200, 250 years, or do you want socialism and communism, open borders, a check for everybody to sit at home and barely survive, no law enforcement? That's what this is about. I mean, Doug Jones is he has bought into all this nonsense from the far left, and that ain't going to fly in Alabama. People want a safe community, and that's what we're going to give them.
Yeah, think about your time as a coach, and I've said this on the air many times, I'd say better suited for the role you're going for now than Senate. Senate, you've done a good job up there, did great, but you have to work with other people. I mean, you had time as being the emperor, being a college football coach. It's a little bit more similar to the governor of a state, right? I mean, you get in there, it's going to be your plan, right? And you're going to get people to implement it. Give me an idea like what that plan looks like in short.
Well, first of all, to do this, I had to sell President Trump because I ran to help him. And I've been up here for 4 years, and obviously he got cheated out of the 2020 election and then had to deal with this unbelievable nonsense of the Democrats and open borders and no law enforcement and all this nonsense. So now we got President Trump back in. But I have noticed up here there's so much division, it's almost impossible to get anything done. And President Trump is sending money and the power back to the states. And that's what it's supposed to be. The states are supposed to control their own destiny with some help by the federal government. So I told the president, I'm going to go back and I'm going to still support you 120%, but our state needs help. We need a game plan. And that's what we're going to do. We've been working on this for a year and a half. We're going to put a game plan in. The next 5 months, I'm going to travel the state, talk to people about their needs and not needs. Now, that sounds political, but let me tell you something. We have to be on top of the next 10 or 15 years because this country and the world is going to change. AI is coming. We got manufacturing coming back in the country, which we're getting almost weekly to come back, and a lot of it coming back to Alabama. We have to keep our kids in the state. We have to make it safer, you know, on our streets. And I promise I'm going to do that. I mean, it is ridiculous, but I've seen what President Trump's done here in just over, a little over a year, cleaning up D.C., you know, cutting back on tax, doing things to help the American people. Mm-hmm. It's the first time in a long time where I've seen the American people, and obviously they're complaining about gas prices. Folks, let me tell you something. They're going to go down, but we can sacrifice a few more weeks and of a little bit higher prices. But also, while we're doing that, we put these Iranians, which are nothing but people that fund terror all over the world, kill Americans, kill everybody they possibly can, and try to take over the world. I mean, that's an easy sacrifice for us to contain and control the Middle East. And President Trump is doing exactly what we need to do there. Venezuela, Cuba coming next. I mean, we live in a dangerous world. We got to take it back.
Senator, with the time we have left, I guess one more question for you. And I'm sure you've heard on the campaign trail, us down here on the coast, Southwest Alabama, always the term we use, redheaded stepchild of the state when it comes to Montgomery. And it hasn't really changed much over the last, well, I don't know how long. Do you feel once you become governor, I mean, we're big moneymaker down here. How do you feel about the importance of Mobile and Baldwin counties when it comes to the rest of the state and maybe getting a little more respect in Montgomery?
Yeah, well, first of all, the whole state's very, very important. You got different sections. We got a very diverse state. You look at Northern Park, where you got obviously Huntsville and all the mountains, and you go down through Birmingham, and then you get down to the coast where you have beaches, and we all got to work together. I mean, it's kind of a governor's got to pull us together. You got to have a plan for everybody to be together. There's some things that should have been done a long time ago in Mobile that has held back progress. Now, the port is outstanding. It's going to pay 35% of the GDP in the state, and it will continue to rise. We got some things coming you don't know about. I'm not privy to say that right now, but things that are getting ready to happen at the port is really going to bring in more and more jobs. But the thing that we have to do is we have to increase, obviously, power and energy. We have to get that damn bridge built. Mm. I mean, that thing is holding us back from many, many things. I talk every time I see President Trump, he'll go, Coach, please don't bring up that bridge because I'll wear him out. Because it's $3.5 billion.
Yeah,
we
yep.
can't afford that. He has to help us. It's a national security threat. And so I've got a meeting with him tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We're doing the swearing in of Kevin Warsh in the Oval Office, our new Fed chair, who's a good friend of mine, by the way. And so I'm getting to go with that. And he'll look, I'm the first thing I said, Coach, don't bring up the bridge, please. Don't bring it. But I'm going to wear him out.
Keep bringing it up.
Love the tenacity.
Keep bringing it up. I'm behind you, whether the president's annoyed or not.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
And, Coach, really appreciate your time. Would love for some of this big port news to break right here on FM Talk 106.5, but we appreciate any time you give us some time. So thank you, and good luck wrapping up that term up in D.C. I know it grinds your gears a little bit.
Yeah, it's good, but there's a lot of good things coming for the whole state, especially Mobile. We appreciate what's going on. The growth down there is just phenomenal, and it will continue, and we just need to tweak a lot of things to make sure we get things on the right track for everybody, and also for our kids and education. That's going to be a huge part of what I'm going to do, teaching them AI and get them ready for the future.
All right, Coach, thank you so much, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, Tommy Tuberville, Senator, Coach, gubernatorial candidate, and more Mobile mornings coming up.